Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Valley Voices. I'm your host, Amy Haddon Marsh. And joining me by phone from Alaska are Daniel Stickman, Koyukon and Dina Ina Athabaskan, and the Network Coordinator for the Western Alaska Conservation Cooperative. And Nellie Williams, Director of Trout Unlimited's Alaska program. We're going to be talking about the Pebble Mine that's proposed for Bristol Bay in Alaska. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you. Thanks, Amy.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Finally, we've gotten this show on the road, so to speak. So how are things up? Where are you in Alaska?
We are both in Anchorage.
In Anchorage. Okay, great. Well, you know, let's dive right in. Some listeners might be familiar with the proposed Pebble Mine, but first, can you sort of paint a picture of the area where the proposed mine would go?
Hi, Amy. This is Danielle Stickman. So I'll just start off with a little bit about my homeland. My community of Nundalton that I grew up in is one of the closest communities to the proposed location. And all of Bristol Bay is home to the Yupik, Dena Ina, and Aleutic people. Mm-hmm. And I have strong roots from both of my parents, and especially my Dena Ina ancestry, roots that have kept me grounded in this fight against Pebble for over a decade.
Wow.
Where I'm from, we have a traditional practice called fish camp, and everyone in the region, if they're not commercial fishing or sports fishing, they're usually subsistence fishing around June and July and sometimes August. So to paint a little picture of what fish camp was like, I was raised at fish camp in the summers, and I didn't know then how much that place in the salmon would shape my being and my life. So salmon to me, a few years ago, I would have told you salmon are food or a way of life and they're my job, but salmon are more important than that. I can tell you about how I started going to fish camp as a baby on the New Halen River near Nundalton. And I can tell you how we catch salmon by seine and how we put them in fish boxes in the water and then start cutting, hanging, drying, smoking, and eventually canning a beautiful, strong sockeye salmon. I can tell you about their life cycle from their little olivine stage to when they return to spawn, die, and give life back to the ecosystem around them, enduring miles of streams, lakes, oceans, and predators. I can tell you all that and more, but today, as I look at the salmon, my heart explodes with gratitude and love because they're not just food or an animal or a keystone species. They are teachers, and salmon have taught me about endurance. They've taught me about patience, about life, death, and impermanence, and they have taught me to approach life and all living beings with respect and gratitude. I once looked at salmon and fish camp as work, but now I realize I would not be who I am without the teachings I have learned from salmon, and I think many people from the region can say the same.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful wisdom. And, you know, salmon is sacred across cultures. I know the ancient European cultures held salmon as very, very sacred, the Celts over there in Ireland and in Scotland. And Bristol Bay is home to the largest population of wild salmon. Isn't that true?
Of sockeye salmon. Yes, you're right. Yeah, it's one of the last places on the planet where these incredible runs of salmon still thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, 63 million salmon came back to the rivers of Bristol Bay, which is impressive by nearly any standard in the world.
No kidding. That must be an amazing sight.
It is.
Oh, it is.
The rivers are literally red with salmon. Mm.
That's wonderful. And it's now sort of endangered, it sounds like. Could you all, well, I guess, Nellie, I didn't give you a chance to describe the area up there. Do you want to chime in on that?
Oh, I think Danielle did a beautiful job.
I think she did, too.
I think one thing that always impresses me when I'm flying over the Bristol Bay area is just how wet it is, and how this isn't a landscape where you see roads or power lines or anything. It's really villages surrounded by winding rivers and ponds, and I think that landscape is what makes the wild salmon run so prolific and bring commercial fishermen and sportsmen and women from throughout the world to Bristol Bay to fish.
Well, describe Pebble Mine, and I'm sorry to take this hard turn out of the beautiful landscape up there, but describe Pebble Mine and give us a brief history of this proposal, including who are the players.
Sure. Yeah. So the proposed Pebble Mine has been on Alaskan's radar for more than 20 years at this point. Early on, you know, it was just a rumor of some gold in the ground. And over the past two decades, we've learned a lot about what's in the ground and how they would extract it. If it's built, if the full deposit is mined, it would be the largest open pit gold and copper mine in North America, many times larger than all the other hard rock mines in Alaska put together, which says a lot. Alaska is historically very much a mining state, and we do have a lot of operating mines. So Pebble is like nothing Alaska and really North America has ever seen before. They would have to store billions of tons of mine waste in perpetuity at the headwaters of the two main rivers that flow out of the area and into Bristol Bay, which is the northern part of the Pacific Ocean, and right above the Aleutian Chain. And, you know, there's many ways you can describe Pebble, but, you know, massive amounts of mine waste stored in the worst possible location. And then, you know, they would have to manage water on a truly unprecedented scale, somewhere between 6.8 and 11 billion gallons of water would have to be treated and managed forever.
That sounds really the opposite of what is a Bristol Bay in that pristine environment.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, at the heart of this, you know, salmon, as Danielle really eloquently put it, supports a culture that's been going on for thousands of years. And it also currently supports a really thriving, in addition to that, supports a thriving economy and 14,000 full and part-time jobs, a thriving and growing tourism industry. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about a mine versus salmon. This is about jeopardizing existing American jobs for a mine that is incredibly risky.
Well, who are the players in this drama?
So right now there's really one. The mine is being pushed forward by a company called Northern Dynasty Minerals. They're based out of British Columbia, and they are the owners of the mining leases there. Many years ago, when they had other partners, they formed the Pebble Partnership, and the Pebble Partnership is the public-facing group promoting the mine. But there's really no partnership. It's just one partner who has never developed a mine before. You know, I think, you know, really they are a PR firm and have very little experience in developing a mine, which makes it all the more concerning.
Well, it sounds familiar. Glenwood Springs here in Colorado is facing a proposed expansion of a limestone quarry, and the owners of those leases have never operated a mine before. So, yeah, it's you know, it sounds like it's happening all over the place. So what kind of opposition is there to the Pebble Mine, proposed mine?
There have been so many initiatives around the state, not just in the region, but people coming together in opposition, from subsistence fishermen to commercial fishermen to sports fishermen to a bunch of nonprofits. And we've gotten some leaders on our side in some of the fights that we've been in. And now we've got even more. We've got the bear viewing industry, which is really big in the region as well. And there are many people opposed to this. And I think it's not just about the fish. It's also about just what has been done in the past. And I think I remember my first paper in 2006 that I wrote in college about this mine. And and we've been fighting it since before then. And we haven't, it's been people like Nellie and others in the region who have just been working against it and doing hard work for creating science-based information and getting science-based information to back up our fight. And I think it's one of the last heartbeats of our earth. It's a pristine area that can't be described in words. And if you ever came up here and went to Bristol Bay, we can't describe it in words. It's like one of those places that needs to be protected, because it's not only our connection to the earth, it's our connection to our humanity if we destroy another beautiful place like this.
Well, can we briefly talk about the tribal impacts? You know, first of all, what tribes are in the area, and how will they be impacted by this mine?
So there are quite a few number of tribes in the area. Like I said, there's a bunch of communities from Aleutic to Yupik to Diné Iná people who have spoken up against this proposal, and we've continued to speak up against it. But to be honest, there has been divisions in some communities, and it's just heartbreaking to see that, because with a corporation like this, they have hired experts to do strategies to divide people. And it's one of those methods that is horrible, but I think we're slowly healing and coming back together and continuing to stand up for the land and the salmon and the water that can't speak up for themselves.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish up.
I mean, Amy, I think Danielle is, I mean, she said it really well. And, you know, I live in Anchorage and, but know a lot of the people in Bristol Bay, and, you know, they are an amazing and inspiring group of people. And it's been really, impressive to watch the people of Bristol Bay, the vast majority have come together opposing this mine, and then them being able to bring that voice of opposition to the state and the country. And I think that Bristol Bay, because of everything it is, has captured just the hearts and minds of people around the country and the world. And it's, even if you don't ever get to visit Bristol Bay, often people eat salmon from Bristol Bay or come to watch the bears or you know, see this amazing salmon footage online. And it's special. And I think Americans across the country care deeply about this place, because there's not many places left in America you can experience wild country.
We only have a few minutes left, and I want to kind of talk about what's happening now. And I will link, Danielle, I read an op-ed that you wrote for the Anchorage Daily News a couple of years ago that I think is very touching, and I would like to link that on our website or link to that. But, you know, I want to talk about some of the what's going on currently. Earlier this year, the Army Corps of Engineers released a draft environmental impact statement, one of those DEISs. And could you talk about that briefly and why the public comment period was extended?
Sure, Amy. A few months ago, we are now in a public comment period that the public is being asked to take a look at the permit application Pebble Partnership submitted, and the Army Corps of Engineers assessment. We've taken a quick look at, well, actually, a very in-depth look at that over the past 3 months, and there are numerous significant inadequacies associated with not only Pebble's permit application, but also the Army Corps of Engineers' review of it. You know, from there being a really incomplete mine plan that was submitted to the Pebble Partnership, there's no proof of economic feasibility. They don't have an adequate water management plan or an adequate mitigation plan. So there's really a ton of flaws associated with the draft environmental impact statement. And right now it's really important for people all over to the country to weigh in on that plan and this process. And I guess I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But there's tons of information on our website at savebristolbay.org.
Right, and I will link to that as well. But there's something going on with the Clean Water Act and Section 404 of the Clean Water Act and this mine permit. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so a mine like Pebble Mine needs to get dozens of permits. Many of those are state permits, but the permit they're requesting right now is their Clean Water Act 404 permit, which gives them permission to fill in or dredge up waters in the United States. And it's really considered one of the most important permits a mining company has to get. And that's what this whole public comment period is about, is whether or not the Pebble Mine should be granted a permit to dig up or fill in 3,500 acres of wetlands, build a 100-mile road system, an ice-breaking ferry, and all the infrastructure associated with building the mine.
Yeah, that's...
We recently got a 30-day extension because of the complicatedness of the proposal.
Yeah, it's, you know, 187 miles of pipeline, 84 miles of sort of a private road crossing streams and lakes and then filling in the wetlands. It sounds like a nightmare, actually. But you mentioned earlier today, Nellie, that California Congressman Jared Huffman has introduced an amendment related to the mine. What's that all about?
So Congress can really help out right now, and I think this all hinges on the fact that the current process happening right now is a complete disservice to Alaskans and businesses and villages close to the mine site. And because it is so bad, Congressman Huffman introduced an amendment to the appropriations package that's currently being considered by the House of Representatives. And basically that, if passed, that amendment would prevent Army Corps of Engineers from spending any funding on further evaluation of the permit.
So that would affect...
Right now,
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I think right now it's really important for listeners to, if you care about Bristol Bay, contacting your House of Representatives members would be really helpful right now.
So if that funding were shut down, would that effectively shut down the mine proceedings at this point?
It would definitely make it difficult for Pebble to proceed. They need this key permit. And again, you know, if Bristol Bay deserves the highest standards of review. I mean, we've talked about what a special place it is, and right now, you know, this review process is not meeting very basic standards, and I think that's why the step to pull the funding for it is so critical, because it's really a waste of taxpayer money and time asking people to review a plan that just isn't up to par.
Well, the comment period for the Army Corps of Engineers draft environmental impact statement is open until July 1st. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And where can you give us a website URL where people can get some more information?
Absolutely. If people go to savebristolbay.org,
okay.
There's tons of information and a place where you can take action.
Okay, that's Save Bristol Bay, save then BRISTOLBay.org. And I will also put that link on the website and one for Earth Justice. I was looking through the Earth Justice site today, and there's a wonderful story about a Native artist up there and her talking about fish camp and where she lives. And it's a lovely piece. So I will post all of those things. And we have about a minute left. What is Governor Mike Dunleavy? What's his position on the Pebble Mine?
Moving in the wrong direction, oh. I would say.
Okay.
You know, all of our elected officials up here, you know, have called for a robust process, which we've talked about that we're not getting right now. And I think despite some promises as a candidate, so far Governor Dunleavy seems to be siding more with Pebble. But, you know, a majority of Alaskans are opposed to this mine, and I'm hoping he will listen.
Well, Nellie Williams and Daniel Stickman, thank you very much for taking the time to join me, and good luck.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you so much.